Well, how many of y'all are, boy, it's a southern draw. How many of y'all are in our discipleship class? Success Motivation. It's a book that Charles Capps wrote. Scriptural Solutions for Being Successful. If you want to be successful as a believer, I encourage you to get in that class. I encourage you to get this book. We're sold out again? We'll order some more. See the bookstore lady back here that just yelled out, sold out. That's a good thing, because that means there's people that are hungry. Hungry for answers. Charles Capps is an amazing, he's in heaven now. But for 20 years, he was an agricultural farmer. And so Jesus taught a lot through parables and a lot with seeds. And so this guy got a hold of it. He said, well, I understand how seeds in the natural work. And see, when you understand that, how many all planted gardens, flower gardens and tomatoes and cucumbers and, you know, you plant tomato seeds or whatever, how many expect corn to come up? No. You know, you could plant marigolds and you don't expect cactus to start growing. The Bible says in Genesis 8:22 that as long as the earth remains, is the earth still remaining? It's still here right at the moment. Seed time and harvest is going to continue to operate. Seed time, planting of seed, and harvest. That's one of God's laws. That's a law he created for this planet Earth. It is talking about agricultural seeds, but it's also talking about sowing seeds of words that come out of our mouth. And those are more important seeds in your life, because where you are today, get this, where you are today is a sum total of the things you've been saying. Jesus said, and what have you been saying? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's in your heart's coming out, whether it's good or bad. Bad seed produces bad crops. Good seed produces good crops. That should be simple enough for a 3 or 4 year old to understand. So I know you can all get this. But anyway, God is a good God. He has made a way. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says he's given us, has given us, that constitutes a gift, already been given, all things, say all things, that pertain to life and godliness. He's given those things. And those things have been written down and are contained in this book. To the one outside of Christ that's not born again, this is just a book of words and means nothing. They don't have an understanding or a revelation of what the meaning is. Jesus even explained it in Mark chapter 4 and in other places that those that have ears to hear are going to get the understanding. If you don't have ears to hear, in other words, if you just showed up for church because, well, that's the thing we do, you know, we go to church on Sunday, well, then you're not going to get what God has for you. God is transmitting to every single person in this auditorium right now. He's transmitting his word to you, and it's up to you. Do I want to hear it and get it? Or do I just want to wait and, you know, I can't wait to the coffee after and can't wait for the muffin and can't wait for, you know, what we're going to do this afternoon and the Patriots are playing. Big deal. You know, I'm a Patriots fan, but they're not higher than this. I will miss a Patriots game for this. If they started playing Sunday morning, I just will never watch them ever again. Well, that went over real well. All right, I want to talk to you. We've been talking about Holy Spirit, and he's a person, and I'm not going to recap since the 1st of July. So I encourage you, go back, listen, they're online. You can get CDs. You can order the whole CD selection. And if you want, if you're hungry to know Holy Spirit, and let's face it, you know, we're taught, you know, we love Jesus and we accept Jesus, but Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Holy Spirit is God who's in you. You want to get to know him, Because Jesus said, it's important that I leave so that I can pray the Father and the Father sends you Holy Spirit. We need all three. They all work together and they all agree. The Father has never said something and Holy Spirit says, well, I got to think about that one. I'm not sure about that. Jesus never once said, well, I just going to do my own thing. I know what I heard my Father say, but I'm just going to go off here. I think it's right because, hey, God's in heaven. I'm down here on the planet. Doesn't God know? Yet God knows everything. But yet Jesus submitted himself under his Father and only did what his Father, he saw his Father do and only said what his Father says. And so we want to be submitted unto the Word of God and to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Who's inside us? He's the one here today. And so we've spent all these weeks talking about Holy Spirit. And then with the culmination of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, separate experience after you're born again, and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence. It's just an evidence of speaking with other languages that you didn't learn that God's given you. And yet the devil fights that because he knows there's something about it that's going to just put another knot in his head, going to cramp his life, going to put him down. Yes, it's the power. It's the power. You and I need the power because we're the representations on the earth today. Holy Ghost is not working independently of the believer. If he was, he wouldn't need to be inside us. He'd just be out there hovering the way he was back when God spoke. But God sent him to come inside and dwell in you. And now you're going to hear his voice and you're going to do something. You're going to lay hands on the sick. They're going to get healed. You're going to speak a word that the Holy Spirit tells you to say. And you might save somebody's life. They might have been considering taking their own life. And you came along. I've heard so many testimonies of people that, you know, they at the last second before they did what they were going to do and take their life, they cried out to God and said, God, if you're real. And they give him some stupid thing. And God puts it on somebody's heart to do that stupid thing and saves their life. Anybody remember Ken Gobb? There was a woman in California that was going to commit suicide. And she had seen Ken Gobb, I guess, on TV or something, or on the radio back then. And she just cried out to God, and she said, if you're real, she didn't even know if he's real. If you're real, you have that guy call me. Or you put me in touch with him. And so God gives her a number. She dials the number thinking she's calling Ken Gobb. He's in Virginia. He's not in Seattle where he lives. He was on a road trip. Walking by a phone booth. Now, I know some of you don't know what a phone booth is, but they're those boxes where Superman would go in and get his clothes changed, you know. But he was tired, and he stopped for a rest, and his family went in and get a pizza or a sandwich or something, and he decided to just sit, lay back, and close his eyes. And then after that, he got up and went outside. He was going to go get a Pepsi, I think he said. And the phone booth started, the phone's ringing. He says, like, there's nobody, somebody's calling. So he goes over and picks it up. It was the operator. And the operator said, this is a person-to-person call for Ken Gobb. He's looking outside. He's like, am I on candid camera? He's looking for the cameras. And he's like kind of arguing with the phone operator. And she says, well, is this Ken Gobb or not? And he says, well, yeah. She connects the call, and this woman's, Ken, oh, I'm so glad I got a hold of you. He leads her to the Lord. She was going to take her life. She cried out to God, and God made a phone booth across the country ring where he was. He was in the right place at the right time. He had an unction not to go inside and get a sandwich at that moment, but stay back. Why? Because there's a phone call coming. This is how we're supposed to live. Some of you probably, you're looking at me like I got three heads. You never heard this. That's being led by the Spirit. He was led not to go in. He was led outside at the time he was. The phone rings. God knows what he's doing. He's like the major air traffic controller. And he's putting people in places so that nobody's crashing. Okay, that was a sidebar. That was not in my notes, and I didn't know I was going to say any of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I got a lot in my heart that's stirring. You know, just when I utter out of my mouth, I think we're coming to a close. It's like I'm just getting more downloads. He just keeps downloading. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is Paul speaking. And he says, I can get there. Some of you are still turning. Verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. See, that's why God can use me, because I don't have any of that. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. So, in and of himself, he's a wreck. But with God. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom. Now underline that in your Bible, if you can write in your Bible. If you can't, throw it away, and we'll get you one you can write in. Because you need to be able to go back in time at a future date and see some of the things that pop out at you or some of the things that that I would help you to see. You need to see this. However, we, that's you, that's me, speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. A mystery is just simply something that you don't have the answer to right now. You know, how many have ever watched the shows, you know, the mystery shows or whatever? And at the beginning, the mystery's not revealed, is it? You got to watch the whole thing before you figure out what that mystery was all about. Well, here, God is saying that or through Paul, that we're going to speak wisdom, and we speak it in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, which he ordained before the ages for our glory. I want to just comment that he didn't hide it from you. He hid it for you. He didn't hide it from you. He hid it for you. Who are for you? The one that has ears to hear, Jesus said. If you don't want to get this, then, you know, just close your eyes, take a nap. That's okay. I can't force anybody to receive anything. Neither can God. But if you're hungry and have ears to hear, look what he's revealing here, that we speak wisdom, the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. Get this, for our glory. Not for his glory. He's done some things for your glory. I got a couple amens. That's a good place to shout, thank you, Jesus. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Because every one of us looks like Jesus to the devil. He only had to deal with him in one place at one time. Now, through multiplication, we're all over the planet. That's why the devil wants to fight this and say, ah, that tongue stuff, that's of the devil. Well, it's interesting that on the day of Pentecost, Peter says, the people said they heard them speaking the good things of God. They acknowledged, they're hearing the good things of God. They weren't hearing things of the devil. How many know the devil isn't out glorifying God? He's not saying, right on, you know, go to church, right on, get filled with the Spirit, right on, keep on healing those people and witnessing and bringing people to Christ. Devil isn't doing any of that. All right, as it is written. See, this was already prophesied. This was written way back hundreds and hundreds of years before that. Back in Isaiah. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. How many of y'all love God? Then you need to write your name right there. He's prepared things for John. He's prepared things for you. There is a Bible that was written way back in the 80s, I think, that was called the Personalized Bible or whatever. And in scriptures like that, you would order the Bible with your name and it would be printed with your name in it. I have one of those. I got one for my kids. Katie, you have one somewhere. And so every time you'd read the scripture, it would come alive and say, oh, God's speaking to me. Yes. How about that? He's speaking to you through the Word. That's predominantly how he speaks to you. And then through the Holy Spirit. All right. For God has revealed them what? Them things that have been prepared for you. He wants to reveal them. How many want to know them? Okay, a few of you. He's revealed them to us through his Holy Spirit. Where's Holy Spirit? He's inside of us. For the Spirit searches all things. Say all things. There's no problem you have that he hasn't searched and has an answer for. That was worth coming for somebody. There's no problem you have or have ever had or ever will have that he hasn't already searched out the answer and already knows the answer. And he does it in a millisecond. Because he already knows the future. Yes, the deep things of God. I hear so many people today, they go back to what Isaiah said about we can't know the things of God and things are secrets. And let's just turn there because I want you to see it because I want you to see who he was speaking to. In Isaiah 54, you turned right to it. That means something, Drew. Means you've got to pay extra attention. Isaiah 55, verse 6. I don't want to read the whole chapter, but you want to read the whole chapter of 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. He's not talking to believers here. And he will have mercy on him and to our God. It's real simple. You go to God, the unbeliever comes to God, and he gets born again. And now he's in the body of Christ. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Who's he talking to? The unbeliever. My ways, nor are your ways my ways. Well, that's obvious. The world is not living by the ways of God. But I've heard so many Christians, so many believers that just say, well, you can just never know the things of God because they're higher than me. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. That's what it says here to the unbeliever. When you come into Christ, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is for you. Anybody learning anything here? This is for you, the believer, for God, verse 10, has revealed them what? Them things he's prepared for you. There's things that you need to know, and you're only going to get them by way of the Spirit. I can't give them to you. Your spouse can't give them to you. Your school teachers can't give them to you. Only by the Holy Spirit can you get these things. And they're all good. You know, you young people, it might be that you're going to be a jet pilot. And God will begin stirring inside of you. And he'll begin moving on you at a young age even. And show you. And you'll just know that you know that you know. Barbara and Steve Arbo's son, the other one, Andrew. He knew at 5 years old he was going to be a pilot. He knew at 5 years old. He knew God had him on this planet to be a pilot. And he's a pilot. That's one of the problems that parents get into is they want to tell their kids what they're going to be. That's not your job, parents. Your job is to bring them up in the way of the Lord. Let the Lord show them what their job is supposed to be. I had a pastor once upon a time. He wasn't supposed to be a pastor. How do I know? He told me so. He said, I never wanted to be. He said, my family pressured me into it. He was miserable. You need to let the Holy Spirit. So here, let's get back to this. For God has revealed those things to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. There's your answer right there. You want to know the things? God's given them to you, and you need to find them out by the Spirit of God. How do we do that? I'm glad you asked that. These things, verse 13, we speak. So speaking's going to be part of how you get your answer. Speaking. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Uh-oh, we're in a new level here. We're in a new dimension here. We're in a supernatural realm now. We live in two realms, the natural realm and the supernatural realm. God is saying here, the mysteries, the secrets are in mysteries for your life, for the plans he's got for you. They're inside of you. They're in there in a mystery, and you've got to pray them out, because we see the next verse. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spirit. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Can't happen. The natural man isn't going to get it, for they're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Look at the Amplified here, verse 12. Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed upon us by God. And we, this is how you get them. We, you have a part to play. We are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but by taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. You must, if you're going to get to this dimension of understanding the plan and purpose for your life, you're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit and learn to pray those things out, the mysteries, pray them out in other languages you didn't learn. Now, I went over all of that to get to this part, because I didn't get to share this last time because of time. I see it's almost 12:30. I'm guessing somebody didn't change the clock. But about 4 weeks back, a Sunday morning, and I was preparing and I was preparing on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and so I was just jotting down. I was writing it down. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 13:1, Paul says, although I speak in tongues of men and angels, tongues of men are known languages, like English, like French, like all the languages that man has. But languages of angels are heavenly. They're heavenly. Nobody, there's nothing on earth that has ever been come out of human wisdom that does this. So there's two different languages, of men and of angels. Now, there's two different purposes. There's the infilling of the Holy Spirit is for you to pray out your future, to pray out the plans and purposes of your life, so it's personal. But then Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Now the power here is for you to be a witness, for service. So that's the second two. Two different tongues, two different purposes. And then the second two that it just came to me. I'm not saying God gave this to me, you know, he didn't just shout it out of heaven. But then the next two is there are two applications. Again, one is private for you personally. Another one is for in a church setting such as this. And it's referring to the gift of the Spirit of praying in tongues and then an interpretation of that. And we're going to get to that at some point and teach on that. But that was the two. So I said, here's how you can remember it, the number 222. The next day. Say the next day. My wife hands me a book that she was going to save for Christmas, but I guess had an unction to give it to me the next day. And it's, I never heard of this guy, Troy Brewer. And it's titled, Numbers That Preach. Now, let me just say this, and he says it in the book. There's no inherent power in numbers, but there is inherent power in our God. And he will use numbers to get people's attention. Won't he, William LeClaire? Yeah. There's a, for 3 years or more, there's been a number that comes to him. And now every time I see that number, I just text it to him. Or he's seen it in the sky. He's seen it everywhere. And it's just like, so I just want to, oh, I just got so excited. I shouted when I found this out. Okay, so let me just give you a little bit of background on the mathematical code, if you will. In the Hebrew language, there's not numbers, but they use alpha, A, B, C, D, whatever, and there's a number assigned to it. And that's called the gematria. Is that pronounced correctly? Gematria? You're not sure. Anyway, the Greeks did it, and then the Hebrews, they didn't have symbols such as 1, 2, and 3, and so they used letters of their own alphabets as numbers. So in the Greek, alpha represents 1, beta 2, and so on. This means you can take the letters of any word or name and add them up to get a total value for that word. Just listen. The value is called the gematria, I guess that's how I'm saying it, of that word. He goes on to say, get the book if you want to know more about the number thing. I've only read up to about page 50. The number 222, I said, well, I wonder if he says anything in there about 222. Well, absolutely. I was sitting on the couch. You're right. Thank you. I was just reading, and I got to the page 40, where it talked about triplicate and numbers. And so he says, when somebody is seeing a triple digit, this is God reaching out to them. Just listen. It's important for us to go after the meaning so we can transform our lives to match the heart of the one speaking to us. Again, there's nothing inherently powerful in the number. It's just God trying to get your attention. That's all it is. That's all it is. And so I'll just say this. The number 111, God's number is 111. He's triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And it refers to the presence of God and on and on. So I just want to get to you where I got excited about the number 222. I'm getting tongue-tied because I'm just so excited. The number 222 means a complete witness. The gematria of the three-word term John the Baptist is exactly 222. It means that John the Baptist is the perfect and complete witness to Jesus. Isn't that what the Bible says? In John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Now, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. So it's a complete witness. So triplicate is bearing witness. Day of Pentecost. We talked about the day of Pentecost and when Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power. The only scripture in the entire Bible that has all three words, signs, miracles, and wonders, is found in Acts 2:22, which is what we were talking on. It gets gooder. In Acts 2:22, it says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." He says, so if you're seeing 2:22, it may be a witness to the manifest power of God, which is what we've been talking about for 5 months. And he wants you to go after him for it. He wants you to go after him for it. I don't believe this was revealed to me for me alone. That's your address, 222. All right, just a couple more things. American revivals, how many know anything about that? They tend to be poured out on dates with the number 222. History shows that on February 22, 1906, black evangelist William Seymour arrived in the city of Los Angeles, California, with the Azusa Street Revival. That's really when, like, Pentecost hit America. Which is what we're talking about. Which is, and this 222 is just a number that I felt that helps me remember the two tongues, the two purposes, and the two applications. Okay, George Washington. Oh, maybe it's an American thing, because 1776, our nation's birthday, is 2 times 2 times 2 times 222. And George Washington's birthday is 2/22/1732. Okay. In Joshua 2:22, they departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. Joshua 2:22, you'll be hidden from your enemy. When you pray in the Spirit, when you allow the Holy Spirit to direct your life, you'll be hidden from your enemies. Waters of healing, 2 Kings 2:22. So the waters, this is when Elisha spoke and the waters became healing waters. That's again a reference to the power of God. Total separation from your enemies. Proverbs 2:22. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. God knows how to protect you. Here's one. Total separation from people who hinder you. Isaiah 2:22. Sever yourselves from such a man whose breath is in his nostrils, for of what account is he? Deep and secret things. Deep and secret things. We're just talking about deep and secret things. God wanting to reveal the deep and secret things through the mysteries that you pray out. Daniel 2:22. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. New wine and new wineskins. Nobody puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But the new wine must be put into the new wineskins. This is really a reference to the old covenant and the new covenant. When you're in Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit is in you and activated, new wine. It's also a reference to the Holy Spirit. Great acts of faith. James 2:22. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Incredible stability in God in an unstable world. 2 Samuel 22:2. And God said, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. So that just kind of got me excited. And I just had to kind of share it with you. Because. Yeah. You might want to look into that book. Again, you'll order some. Again, I'm not into, please hear me. It's not that the numbers have any power in them. It could be that God is trying to get your attention with something. Live at 2:22, huh? And John the Baptist was 2:22, a complete witness. And so here's the thing. Here's what the Lord showed me. You'll be a complete witness when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't be a complete witness. John the Baptist was a complete witness. If you want to be a complete witness, you're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. With the evidence of speaking in other languages, that's available for you today. It's not just available, it's what God wants for you. It's really a commandment. He said, when he told them to wait in Jerusalem, he said, you wait until the Holy Spirit is poured out. He wants the Holy Spirit poured out on every one of you. Why? Because God reigns in the earth through his people. God is not sovereignly reigning all by himself on planet Earth. He is in heaven. He is in everything he's created, but he gave over the dominion of planet Earth to Adam. In Genesis 1:26, he gave it to Adam. Adam bowed to Satan and gave it over to Satan. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 bears that out and calls Satan the god of this world. Jesus came back and whooped up on the devil at the Calvary, and he got back the legal representation and the legal authority in the earth. God had to do it as a man. He couldn't do it by himself because of the word. He won't break covenant. He won't break covenant. He won't break his word. God cannot lie. And so it has to come to pass. And so when we're filled, he wants us to be filled so that we can now rule and reign on the earth. We are supposed to be ruling in righteousness. When you go to work and you see a situation that is unrighteous, you're there to bring righteousness there. I'm not saying you start speaking to your boss out loud. I'm saying you're supposed to wait on the Holy Spirit, and he'll give you the things to do. He'll give you the things to say, who to say them to, when to say them. He'll give you his wisdom. You don't want to just go off like a loose cannon and say, I'm here and I'm going to straighten this place out. You'll get fired. And you can even tell them, Pastor said so. Pastor didn't say so. Pastor said, keep your mouth shut until Holy Ghost tells you to open it. But we are here on this earth to advance God's kingdom. Where is God's kingdom? It's inside of us. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us. Glad you wanted to know where it is. Luke chapter 17. Now, when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see it here or see it there. For indeed, verse 21, the kingdom of God is within you. So if the kingdom of God is within you, how does the kingdom of God get out? You have to let him out. You have to let the kingdom out by the words you speak. And let the world see that God's a good God. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That means bringing people to Christ. How did you get to Christ? How many here got pressured into it? How many here, just be honest, how many here somebody forced you? How many here scared the hell out of you? I mean, I know people have received it because they've gotten scared. And hell is not a place, you know. The old preachers used to preach fire and brimstone and hell. And maybe we should start preaching a little bit more of that so people have a reverential fear of hell. Hell's a real place. It's not just in somebody's mind. I heard a statistic that just almost made me fall down. That 40% of Christians don't believe in hell or the devil. It's like, my goodness, who's been teaching them? Talk to the devil. He knows hell's real. The Bible says Jesus went into hell. How could you not believe that when he went there? You better hope he went there. You better believe he went there because he went there for you. And God raised him up on the third day. And that same power that raised Jesus out of hell up to heaven resides inside of you. I tell you, we're just dynamite ready to be activated by the Spirit of God. It's like the Spirit of God, I was going to say he's like the fuse, but he's the power. But we've got to activate it properly. Anyway, before I let you go, I want to talk to you just briefly about voting this week. Because if you're a born-again Christian, then you better be in the voting polls on Tuesday. Because God wants you to be. If you're old enough to vote, you need to vote. And how do you vote? Do you vote Republican? Do you vote Democrat? Do you vote independent? And all these other things? No, you vote righteousness. You vote righteousness. So how do I know? Well, here's what I did. I printed out and looked at the Democratic platform, and I looked at the Republican platform, and then I've looked at the independent as well. and I see what do they believe. They get together every 4 years and they redraft what they believe. How many have ever read the whole thing? It's daunting. It's 50 pages long. But it reveals to you what's in their hearts. And you want to align yourself with the one that's most lining up with God's righteousness. Here's the litmus test for me. And let me just share with you a couple scriptures. It's funny because every time elections come around, I get in trouble because I open my mouth, but that's okay. I'm speaking what God says and not, you know, I believe it, but this is what God says. In Psalm 139, verse 13, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." The Bible says that God formed you. Your parents didn't create you. God did. They came together in a physical response and made it available, but God created you. He formed you in your mother's womb. He formed you. That's why it's his ultimate responsibility to tell you about your life, about what you're supposed to do in life. Are you going to be a doctor? Are you going to be a lawyer? Are you going to be a preacher? Are you going to be a homemaker? We all have the ministry of reconciliation. We all have a responsibility to preach the good news. That's for everybody. But then individually, you've been wired. How many know? Look around. There's nobody here that looks the same. We're all different. We all have different giftings inside of us. All 7. How many billion people there are? We're all different. And God's created you different because he wants you to be you. And you need to be the best you that you can be. I can't be you. I can only be me. That's why I don't compare myself to other preachers. I don't look to other preachers and say, well, if I could only have this or I could have that. No, I stick with Holy Ghost. He gives me the assignment. He gives me what to say. People don't like it, they leave. That's fine. I'm going to stand before Jesus. So are you. We're going to look at that scripture in just a minute. Well, I don't know if that's true. It is. Psalm 127:3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." How many know that Jesus loved the little children? He still does. How many know that Jesus, the Word, and the Father, and the Spirit all agree? It says that over in John. Proverbs chapter 6. This is what God thinks. This is what God thinks. Verse 16. "These 6 things the Lord hates." Say that. God hates this. He hates a proud look. He hates a lying tongue. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. So that right there is my litmus test. I would never vote for anybody that willingly wants to kill babies. Listen, God loves you, and if you've had an abortion, God still loves you. He's not mad at you. But he doesn't want you to be for it. He doesn't want you to promote it. And so if a person, a man or a woman, does not see life as important, why would I want them to make any other decision for my life? Whether it's financial, whether it's for my, you know, well-being or whatever. I wouldn't. I can't trust them. What if they were the one that was there with my mom and said, oh, just abort him. Just end his life. You don't need another kid. She already had 3. I was number 4. And she had a couple more after me. But what if? I know people that have had abortions. God still loves them. I still love them. You are pressured. You are into a place. We support the what's it called now? Aspire. Sorry, I can't keep getting that name right. But they're a ministry right over here on Union Avenue. We financially support them because they reach out to the young, sometimes it's couples, young boy and a young girl that find themselves pregnant and they don't want to be. And they offer free pregnancy tests. So people go there. And somebody blessed them just several years ago with an ultrasound machine that takes a picture of a baby, a living baby. And it's like 85% of young women, they don't want to be pregnant, but they're pregnant. When they see a picture of their baby, they will not abort it. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I go over about once a month and I talk with Linda Trask, who's the director there. And she shares stories with me that it just make you cry. They love on them. They don't judge them. Sometimes people leave and they don't know if they ever did go. But so many people. And they bring them to the Lord. They show them. God loves them. Just because you made that mistake doesn't mean God doesn't love you. That's a horrible time for a young person, 16, 17, 18-year-old girl, find herself pregnant. Sometimes she doesn't even know the father. What a horrible place to be. There are people in this city that will help people like that. I'm proud to be a part of it. You want to know why? Because God told me to go and meet with them and hook up with them. I was coming out of Dick Coyne's church after prayer one night. And I was standing in the parking lot with my son. And it just came up in me. Go over there. At the time, it was Lakes Region Crisis Pregnancy Center or something. Was it CareNet at the time? I don't know. It's changed names. But anyway, I just went over and I said, the Lord told me to come. So if you know anybody that's in that position, send them over there. Send them over there. You find somebody that's in need of food. We support the food pantries in the Lakes Region. Isaiah 61 is up and coming. It's a wonderful ministry. We'll probably start more ministries because we've got to help the people. That's what we're about, helping the people. We're going to be visiting them in prisons. Jesus said, you visited me in prison. When did I visit you in prison? When you visited the least of these. When did I feed you? When you fed the least of these. We're supposed to do the work that Jesus wants us to do. Okay, back to the vote thing. Don't put your name and sign on and say, I agree with this, I endorse it, I sign it. I'm going to go so far and then I'm going to finish. You want to get mad at me? Go ahead. And look, I'm not for one party or the other. I'm for God. And I'm for righteousness. And so I vote righteousness. I don't care how good of a plan they've got to get us out of the financial mess. Doesn't matter to me. God's my source. I'm not looking for a government to tell me that. All I can see in my years of life is they've been taken from me. Okay. 2016, Democratic Party platform. Most of you said you've never read it, so I want to read it to you. This is what they believe in their hearts. We will support sexual and reproductive health and rights around the globe. Okay, that. In addition to expanding the availability of affordable family planning to them, talk to them. Information and contraceptive supplies, we believe that safe abortion must be a part of comprehensive maternal and women's health care and included as part of America's global health programming. We suppose that's all about. I'll tell you what's coming. This genetic programming, and in the future, not too many years away, you can sign up and you can get somebody produced based on what you want. I want a male, and I want him to be 6'1", and I want him to be this and that. I want him to have these eyes, and they're creating people. We saw this several years ago. We showed a video of what's going on, what the scientists are doing today, the wicked scientists. You think they're trying to play God? You bet they are. Therefore, because we support the repeal of harmful restrictions that obstruct women's access to healthcare information and services, including the global gag rule and the Helms Amendment that bars American assistance to provide safe legal abortion. So they want us to pay for it too. If I took up an offering right now and said, I want to raise money for abortions, how many of you would give? But this is what they believe. They want to use your tax money, the money you give them, to make you pay for it. You want to know who's responsible for this not happening yet? The Catholic Church. because they came out and they said, we will not change our stand on abortion. The sanctity of life. And the Pope was, how many remember? They were livid about it. We need to be livid about it too. Look, there's more Christians on this in this America that can make America what God wants it to be. But it's up to you. I've talked to Christians, say, well, I just don't vote. I don't think it matters. It does matter. It does matter. This country was founded on God-fearing men. Wallbuilders.com. You write that down and you check it out sometime. David Barton. He's the owner of the largest collection of original documents of this country. He has a museum in Texas. And he has original documents that the founding fathers, they would go into prayer meetings before they would make a decision. Are they doing that today? And I'm not bad. Some of them are, Connie. Some of them are. But where have we come as a nation since the beginning of the country? It's up to the Christian. God is holding the Christians responsible. He's not holding the heathens responsible. They do what their father does. They do and see what they see their father, the devil. That's what they do. We shouldn't be surprised at that. But we've got to come together. That's why we need to come together in unity. You know, just a few nights ago, there was a prayer meeting at the Verizon Center, or I don't know what it's called now, down in Manchester. And thousands of Christians came out to pray. That's awesome. We need to see more of that. We need to be able to cross denominational boundaries on things that are important to God. If you don't ever pray in tongues, you're not going to go to hell. You're still going to heaven. That's a mute point. I tell you what, you'll have an amazing life if you do, but God's not going to be mad at you. He wants you to. So that across, you know, denominations is a big issue. Just don't bring it up. I go pray with others that aren't, you know, praying in the Spirit, and I don't just blurt it out so that they get mad at me. I just pray under my breath. So I know I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm letting the Holy Spirit direct me. But I don't put them down because they don't. I'm just doing what God's called me to do and teach people that this is what He wants. This is what the benefits are. Praise the Lord. I got to close it down because it's 10 minutes of one. God loves you and we love you. And so get out and vote on Tuesday. If you can't be there, my wife already voted because she's going to be away on Tuesday. You can go down tomorrow and vote tomorrow if you're not going to be around on Tuesday. But pray about it and vote righteousness. If you don't know, look on the website. These people should have websites that show what they believe. But, you know, sometimes you got to do a little research because they talk in so many different words that we don't. It's almost like double negatives. It's like, are they for it or are they against it? How many have ever got to the voting poll and there's questions? Oh, Article 13, you know, whatever. And there's so many double negatives because they're written by lawyers. It's like, I don't even know. So I have to leave it blank because I don't know what to vote for. But if you get those things ahead of time, you can find out what is this saying. But if we want to promote the gospel, then we've got to live. You know, the Bible says that we're to pray for our leaders, and we do that. But we're all supposed to be called to act and to do something about what we believe. And your vote at the voting poll, here it is. You know, people criticize me all the time, you know, shouldn't bring up politics. Politics, you know what the definition is? It's the making of policy. Why would you want Satan making your policies? Do you let him come into your house and say, Satan, I want you to give me a list of the things that are going to go on in my house and let Satan do it? But we don't even think twice about it by all these laws that are written by those that are not godly people. We have an impact. You have an impact. More than that, you're going to stand before Jesus and you're going to be accountable for the things we've done right and wrong. Our sin's been judged. It's not that. But rewards will be given and rewards will be taken away at the Bema seat of Christ, at the reward seat. He will take things away when we didn't do things that we knew we should have done. You know, the sin of omission is probably one of the ones that we all commit every day. It's not so much that we're committing this, this, and this. It's that we're not doing what God's asked us to do. Stand to your feet. Father, I just pray that I got it out the way you wanted me to, and it fell on ears that would hear it. Father, we love you. We thank you for your greatness and your goodness. You are an awesome God. We love singing that song. But Father, we want to reflect that you're an awesome God in our everyday life. So as we leave here today, Father, I pray that you would give us opportunities to show the world that you are a good, good God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.